Hey, Marvel Maniacs, welcome to another exciting episode of Guardians of the MCU. This is episode number 127, being recorded on November 30th, 2020. My name is Tim, and I'm one of your hosts. We have two other hosts with us tonight. They are going to introduce themselves and tell us what their favorite childhood toy was. Go.
My name is Sheba. My favorite toy as a kid was my Cabbage Patch doll.
Oh, okay.
And then I had to give it away because my mom made me, and I regretted it.
Aw.
Yep.
Wow,
that's a bummer.
I was going to say that took a sad note.
Yeah. Moved away, and she told me that we had to give everything away. And so I was like, all right, I'll give it away. And then a couple of years later, she was like, oh, you shouldn't have given it away. It was worth money. And I'm like, I just liked the toy, and now you said I could. Try not to think about that every day.
You know, that's what therapists are for.
Yeah. Well, I just overcompensate now and just buy all the toys because I know I can now. So
there you go.
The number of times that 10-year-old John shops with 40-plus-year-old John's credit card.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the secret of being an adult. Just you're allowed to buy. That's what I tell my students. The best thing about being an adult is you can buy whatever you want.
Yeah, and my kids benefit it with Fortnite when I'm like, oh, that's a cool skin. Let's get it. Like, we love that Dad plays Fortnite now. Hi, I'm John. I'm going to go with the first gut instinct of when Tim Sennett said it, and it's because it's one of my favorite holiday memories, and then we'll say my favorite toy was getting the Hasbro Millennium Falcon, and I have very vivid memories of getting that as a kid, being young enough getting it that I could sit on the Hasbro box without crushing it.
That's amazing.
And just the sheer joy of playing with that with my action figures who, for those of you that love like the Black Series figures or even like the other type of figures that have all sorts of movements to them, ours, the arms went up and down. There was no elbows, no wrists, no
nope,
nothing.
No. Nope.
The legs went forward and backwards, no knees, no ankles, no nothing. Luke's lightsaber slid out of his forearm, kind of like a really bad yes. Wolverine claw.
I don't even think the heads moved on them, did they?
Nope. And they were absolutely epping amazing.
Yeah. They had little holes
in the feet, so occasionally you could like get them to stand on something.
Yep. This was the Falcon that was like the size of a coffee table, right?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And it opened up. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Uh-huh.
No, fantastic. That's awesome.
Fantastic.
Very good. I have a hard time picking like one thing. So I'm just going to kind of go with like a genre, G.I. Joes, huge on G.I. Joes. A lot of G.I. Joes, fair amount of Transformers, but like an epic crap ton of G.I. Joes. And it was just that great benefit because there was this period of time where marketing genius dictated that we want a cartoon and we want a toy line. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do both at the same time because they basically market each other.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's what they did with G.I. Joes. That's what they did with Transformers. And then comic books of those came along. And it was like, it was absolutely brilliant. And it worked real well. I, you know, had a lot of figures. There's a G.I. Joe Twitter account. And... couple three times a day they'll post pictures of different like action figures and vehicles and that kind of stuff, and it's like so nostalgic because it's like, ah, I had that, or I didn't have that but I wanted it, or a friend of mine had that, or like really incredible stuff. And like it's one of those things that every once in a while it triggers this little memory of like, you know, Christmas morning, and you open that box and there's that vehicle that like you wanted so bad. And then the great thing was that you got to put them to the vehicles. You got to put vehicles together.
Yeah.
They weren't already assembled. So it like, that was to me a fun part of it. And of course I was a kid. So like you're putting stickers on, all the stickers are crooked.
Yeah.
And yeah. And then, you know, then you're getting all your action figures out and you're like populating the vehicle with them and stuff and shooting little missiles and also, so much fun. So much fun.
All right. I'm going to go down this one rabbit hole and then we can talk Marvel. But it's a conversation that SD and I had about the kids and Christmas lists. And remember as a kid, and I mean, to include being my kid's age, the sheer joy of like going to the toy store and just walking up and down the aisles.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. And being like, I want this and I want this, or the Toys R Us and or Sears Christmas catalog.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just
circling everything.
Oh yeah. And being so excited. Like,
I want this.
I want the whole catalog.
Yeah. Yeah.
Minus the Cabbage Patch Kids, but I mean that's and the kid, like, I mean, the kids, I mean, you go to Amazon, you look at like, you look at everything online, and I mean, I still walk down the toy aisles in Target. I mean, the only place I go to that still has a toy aisle, but and still walk down and look at all the things. And Tim, I know, because we've done it together.
And once in a while, we'll actually like say, take pictures of something and we'll send pictures to each other of stuff. It's
yeah.
I like to pretend I'm going for my nieces and nephews. I'll look down the toy aisle and then I'll just be like, is there anything else I can buy for myself? Exactly. One for them, one for me, you know?
Well, and that's like, you know, Sheba, like you said, it's kind of like the things that we get now as adults, because like, there's so many like incredible action figures out now and that kind of thing. And like Lego, I absolutely love to build Lego things, particularly on the Star Wars side, because I think their stuff is brilliant.
Oh,
they are much better.
Yeah.
I'm going, like, I keep waffling on it. but I think I'm just going to pull the trigger and get the Razor Crest, because I know if I don't, 2 years from now, when it's like $700, I'll regret it.
Exactly.
Yep. And just, you know, get it, be done with it. You know, it's something that at least my son and I can do together to build, which is, you know, fun. We like to do. And like, I mean, but it will, like, it's one of those, like, he had the ghost, he's lost all the pieces. I'm like, God, I would love to have the ghost.
Yeah.
And I just can't justify buying
another one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lego Voltron, I think, is now going for over twice the price.
Oh, wow.
I actually, how much was it when it came out?
I think it was $150, I think.
I mean, it, like, on eBay, they're still selling, because I haven't opened mine yet. Mine's still up.
That's right.
You because I bought it right when I moved, and then with the construction and everything else, and I looked and was like, because part of me, like, is like, do I sell that and get like the diecast one I had as a kid? But on eBay, they only average like they do on eBay. The new Lego sets only average about $225.
Oh, really?
Right. Yeah.
That's strange. Cause on Amazon, it's actually going for more.
Yeah, it is.
It depends. Amazon sometimes is a little bit more expensive, I've noticed, with some things.
Interesting.
Yeah. No, cause I looked and said, if it, you know, if it's a good amount, then sell it and get like the die cast and just have the one I had as a kid instead. But I'm like, at that point, the Lego one's still pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was one of the most fun builds I ever did, because you're doing five separate builds and then you get, you know, the one, you know, giant mega robot. So good times. Good times. All right, folks, let's get to it. On to our news. First up, Marvel did a cool thing over on Disney Plus. Was it yesterday, day before?
Yeah.
Was Chadwick Boseman's 44th birthday. And so they did actually a new opening for the Black Panther movie on Disney Plus. What they did with this, and of course you can go check it out, even if you don't have the time or the inclination to watch the movie, you'll see this in the first, you know, whatever, 90 seconds of the showing. It's where they do the intro with the Marvel lettering. And it's, you know, like the camera is kind of panning through all the different letters, and the letters will have these like video panels on them. And in most of the Marvel movies, it's scenes like it's a collage of all the different movies that have come beforehand. On this one, on this new one, what they did is they're doing photos and some video of T'Challa and of Chadwick Boseman with some certain dialogue bits kind of overlaid and all that. And when they finally get all the way back and they show the full Marvel logo, it's actually displayed on a purple backdrop. And of course, that's meaningful because the premiere of Black Panther, along with a few other MCU films, but I think Black Panther was maybe the first one to do it. They did a purple carpet. Yeah. So really cool thing. Definitely worth seeing again. I mean, just go on Disney Plus, even if you're not looking to watch the movie. Yeah. And just check that out. It's a really cool thing. It's a nice little tribute. And from what I understand, that is now permanently how it's going to be on the Disney Plus version. And I don't know if they're going to be doing another version in Blu-rays or anything like that. Mm. But at least on the Disney Plus version, that's there. So I think it's very cool.
And if you don't have Disney Plus, they also have it on the Marvel Instagram page. So if you just want to watch it on there, and I think YouTube has it somewhere too. So if you don't have Disney Plus and you still want to see it, you can check it out over there as well. So, yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, it was definitely, it was a nice tribute. I tried not to cry, but I pretty much cried.
Yeah.
It was really awesome.
Yeah. For being such a simple thing, it was just really well done. And it was also like stuff, they were candid things also, like behind the scenes types of things. It wasn't just him in character all the time. And it was, so that was nice.
Yeah.
That was nice because it was more about him and not necessarily the character that he played.
Yeah.
Speaking of Disney Plus, have you guys had a chance to watch any of the Marvel 616 episodes?
I did. I watched the Japanese Spider-Man, and I was in the middle of watching the one about all the women that work at Marvel behind the scenes.
Higher, Further, Faster.
Yes, that's the one. Yep. Both of them, I loved them so far. I was really, especially with the Higher, Further, Faster one, it was awesome to see so many women behind the scenes from the past to the present.
Yeah.
Was definitely awesome. It was nice to see that there was a Muslim woman in there as well. So was able to relate to it very well, which I thought was absolutely fantastic. So a lot of really cool things in that, the first episode. And then the Japanese Spider-Man was, because you had heard about it before, kind of thing. And it was just nice to see all the context behind that and how everybody felt, and finally being to get recognition here in North America. Right. So it was nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Some cool stuff. John, did you get a chance to check any of them out?
I have not. And admittedly, I keep popping up in like news feeds and things, and I was like, oh, I should watch it. And then, between the holidays and work, have not gotten around to it.
Yeah.
They're really interesting. As Sheba mentioned, the first one is Japanese Spider-Man, which was really good. It was interesting. It was neat that I quite literally, Japanese Spider-Man, first of all, aside from the suit, is nothing at all like the Spider-Man that we know.
It was more like Power Rangers, really.
Yes, and was actually a precursor to the Power Rangers. It was a lot of the inspiration for the Power Rangers came from Japanese Spider-Man, which is only one season.
Yep.
So like amazing that there was like so much around this character, but they actually did a full story arc for the character in one season. And that was it. That's all they wanted to do. Although I will say that episode was kind of unnecessarily long. It felt that they were redundant. They just like kept going back to similar topics and statements over and over again.
Right.
So they could have cut that one down a little bit. The rest of them I thought were really appropriate length and great content. The second episode was Higher, Further, Faster, which I also very much enjoyed. There's one, another episode. I jumped around some after that. Yeah. There's another episode called Suit Up, which is about cosplay.
That's the one I wanted to get to because I saw a couple of people.
When they announced it, I was really interested in.
Yeah, I wanted to see because I recognized some of the cosplayers from follow them. I don't know them personally, but I follow some of them. So the one who cosplayed as Black Panther Shuri.
Oh, yeah.
I've recognized her. She's pretty famous for that cosplay. So I wanted to watch that one, but I'm like, I'm going to watch them in order. So I haven't gotten to it yet, but definitely it's definitely the reason why I started watching the show to begin with.
Yeah.
It's for the cosplay one.
It's a really cool episode. You know, they basically follow, I think, like three or four cosplayers, and they talk about, you know, what their inspirations are and why they cosplay, and a little bit about making the cosplay, but they don't get a whole lot into that. I think that was maybe one of the aspects that was a little disappointing. But I'd like to know how the sausage is made.
Right.
And having, you know, been through the process, and Sheba, you have also, cause you've done a lot of cosplay, you know, like the incredible amount of work that goes into it.
Exactly.
And, you know, even if you can buy a straight up costume or a kit or something like that, but you're still customizing it. And it's about the fit and making it yours, and you're tweaking and adjusting, and nothing is ever 100% perfect.
Exactly.
Much less comfortable, but, but it was really good. And they had like great interviews with them and followed them around to cons. It was actually a lot of this was filmed basically summer, fall, winter of last year. So like they had stuff from last year's New York City Comic Con, like stuff that recent. So really good. And then the last one I watched was called The Marvel Method. And it was basically about what is kind of becoming a dying methodology of how comics are made. Mm-hmm. And it was something that apparently Stan Lee kind of invented. And it's a very procedural type of thing where, you know, the concept goes from the editor to then the writer and then to the pencil, you know, to the primary artist, the penciler, and then inks and then lettering and all that. And then kind of circles back around to the editor and such. Now it's much more collaborative. And really like kind of as soon as the writer starts and starts to get a concept, then the artists kind of start right in behind them. So I think the time period for doing it is a lot shorter too, but really fascinating. And it was also a nice way of kind of showing all the different components and all the work that goes into just creating one issue of a comic book. You know, really incredible, really well done. For folks, again, if you like to know how the sausage is made, if you're interested in kind of how all that stuff breaks apart and breaks down, The Marvel Method was a really great episode in there to watch. There's a few more episodes that I hadn't gotten to. Most of these sit around like 40 or 45 minutes. So they're pretty good. They're pretty good. Also Disney Plus, The Verge reports that the Hawkeye series is actually going to begin filming this week. They're going to be filming in Brooklyn. I don't know if they're going to be filming. I doubt they're going to be filming all of it there, but at least they're starting there and they're probably going to film a good part of it there. The supposition is that it's going to draw from a particular era of Hawkeye comics, a particular run, which was written by Matt Fraction, which placed Clint in Brooklyn for a period of time. So like they've put flyers up in this particular neighborhood of Brooklyn that like, hey, you have to have your cars off the street on this day at a certain time and all that. And they're using the working title Anchor Point, which I think we mentioned several episodes back once that was released. So and Jeremy Renner also has been putting up some social media posts lately over the last couple of weeks about his training and his prep for filming. So that's going to start right away. So you know, probably in the next week or two, we're probably going to get some images from the filming.
They did talk about having a, the rumor is that Florence Pugh, who plays Yelena, mm-hmm. she's probably going to be in the show, and they don't know if she's going to be in there fully or if it's going to be like in flashback or if she's coming back, because people are saying that she's going to probably, they might hand the mantle off of Black Widow to her.
Right.
So she's going to show up, if it's going to be like something that happened in the past or if it's mm-hmm. going to be something like present kind of thing. There were talks about her having her Ronin garb on.
Yep.
So if that's the case, they might be able to, they might be talking about passing it on.
Yeah.
So it might be right before the snap happens. So passing on the outfit to Clint so that he wears it during, during Endgame, like the images that we see him in Endgame. So
there's been a lot of talk about potential for Yelena's character to be bigger and further reaching mm-hmm. in the MCU going forward, which I think is terrific. And I'm excited to be introduced to this character in Black Widow. So mm-hmm. It's going to be cool to see what they do with her. I'm really interested.
And then there were the rumors. There's still the rumors going about Hailee Steinfeld. So I'm not sure if that's, I think that's the fan favorite, but we're not 100% sure if she's going to be cast as.
Using the IMDb test, she's listed mm-hmm. on that.
Yeah. And I think because there were I was listening to another YouTuber, and he was saying that normally a lot of people have said, oh, no, we're denying it. I'm not going to play that character. That's not going to be me. And then lo and behold, they are. So it's more likely that she probably has been cast and is in it, but they're not ready to reveal it yet. So we'll see, I guess, if it's true or not.
Good, good. So the last bit of news that we have here is that this is something we've mentioned also a while back that it was going to happen. Netflix's streaming rights for the Daredevil character have now expired. The other Defenders characters are going to be going that same way over the next month or two. So what's going to happen? Do we think that the Netflix shows, those Defenders-oriented shows of Daredevil and Jessica Jones, et cetera, do we think that they're going to continue, that they're going to stay on Netflix? Do we think that Marvel Studios is going to take possession of them? And if so, put them someplace else. They're certainly not going to put them on Disney Plus. They're way too hardcore for that. Maybe over to Hulu, or maybe they're just going to keep them on Netflix. I mean, it's not that they're not making money with them on Netflix. I'm sure that they still are. So there's that question. And then the other question is, now that their streaming rights are reverting back to Marvel Studios, are we going to see Marvel Studios do something new with these characters? Mm-hmm. What do you guys think?
I mean, I know that Clark Gregg has on Twitter has been kind of being like, you know, we want Charlie Cox to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Want the same characters, the same directors. And I know
Clark Gregg plays Coulson.
Coulson, yes, sorry. Yep. And then the actor who plays Kingpin also retweeted that, you know,
Vincent
being like,
D'Onofrio.
Yeah, fantastic kind of thing. Yeah. So they've been, people have been trying to, like, there's a whole thing on Twitter, on Instagram, on social media to save Daredevil and have Charlie Cox continue to play. So if Marvel listens to fans, then they may continue. I know that they were talking about having the 18 plus Disney Plus section. So they might.
Oh, really?
The stuff that's the rumors I've been hearing, at least.
Oh, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, they might have a section just that's going to be that 18 plus. So if they do have that, then they can keep the Netflix shows,
which would also make sense, because that's going to help them solve their Deadpool problem.
Exactly.
Yep.
Because they're going to have a Deadpool problem. They already do have a Deadpool problem.
Exactly.
Deadpool 1 and Deadpool 2. Are not on Disney Plus. They can put them over on Hulu, but I'm sure that they want to draw as big an audience as possible to Disney Plus.
Exactly.
But Disney has to kind of resolve this whole, Are we going to make everything that has Disney on it be family friendly, or are we going to be flexible and deal with the reality of life, basically?
Exactly. Yeah. So if that's the case, then that would be really awesome.
Yeah.
And they are talking, you know, they are hoping that they can keep, if they're able to keep the same cast, it would be fantastic, because Charlie Cox did an amazing job. You know, everyone in that show did fantastic.
Yeah.
And I would love to see more of it. They left it at a cliffhanger, so it would be fantastic to be able to see more of that. So I would absolutely love it if they continued the series with the same, you know, actors, direction, all the same thing. It would be awesome.
Yeah. John?
I mean, I agree with Sheba. I think Disney likes money.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are, I mean, Daredevil, yes, continue on. There was yes, the numbers weren't as good for the last season, but they were still good. And I think doing, even if they did a final season, they'd see a huge uptick because, you know, people kind of clamor and want it. I was not a Jessica Jones fan, but I know a lot of people were, and mm-hmm. how well that was received. I think probably across the board, they could probably, like Luke Cage, I feel like a Punisher still may be a bit much, even for an 18 plus. Maybe that's a Hulu. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think everyone but Iron Fist fans would, would clamor for. Yeah.
Well, and the thing is, we also know that Punisher is one of their most popular street level heroes. And, you know, they never had plans to do a Punisher series, but the fan response was huge when they had him in Daredevil, that they said, OK, hey, let's give him his own season. You know, so that brought Jigsaw in and all that kind of stuff. And it was really good. And I'm guessing they're also going to want to do something with it. And I agree, John.
Yeah.
Punisher, unless they do kind of temper Punisher a little bit, and I think that they can and still be true to character.
Yeah.
The Netflix stuff with Punisher was very hardcore.
Well, and they would have to do the same with some of the Daredevil fight scenes as well. I mean, they were pretty gory and violent.
But the choreography... Holy crap.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was fantastic.
They can temper both. The thing of it is, if they're not going to bring largely the same cast back, I don't think there is. I mean, we've had this conversation with what are they going to, their Wolverine problem. Hugh Jackman got to retire. He got one of the longest running career as a superhero.
I think so.
For the same character.
Yeah.
And there's still going to be a big pushback for whoever, you know, dons the claws.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that person is no Hugh Jackman.
They're no Hugh Jackman.
No, exactly.
If all of a sudden they announce tomorrow, hey, we're going to do Daredevil, and they could announce Chris Evans is going to be Matt Murdock, and people would lose their mind that it's not Charlie Cox.
So
I think if they want to do anything with them, they have success. They bring them back. Sign them to one season deals or something else, but bring them back. And, you know, they like money. It makes sense.
Yeah, I know that people were talking about, like, if they do have a reboot, the lazy way of doing it is just talking about, you know, the multiverse and being like, it's the multiverse. That's the lazy way of getting out of it.
I love the multiverse excuse, but I don't like it for this.
Exactly. I'm not a fan of that. I would rather they actually do something with it. Or the other thing is that they just kind of reboot it and not talk about any of the backstory for Matt Murdock and Daredevil, and just be like, here you go, it's new and fresh, like they did with Spider-Man. Again, not if they can bring back Charlie Cox and everybody else, that would be ideal, because then you can get him to show up in Spider-Man and all the other properties as well.
Yeah.
So it would be really awesome. And they all did a fantastic job. And it kind of, I really feel for the actors and the cast and crew, you know, just being pushed aside when they worked so hard on the show, and they did such a fantastic job with it. Their hearts and souls were in that show. So it'd be nice for them to kind of be a part of the rest of the MCU because they deserve it.
And I mean, I would love to see Kristen Ritter come back for Jessica Jones.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
They just need to do something different with the storylines. The first season was really good. The second season was too much of a head trip. And then the third season, like, could not get to where it was going. It was still enjoyable, but it was almost kind of a chore watching it because it took forever to get there. And I really, really like her in the role. She's so good with it. I want to see them do something different and a little more exciting with the character. They got to do more. Now that said, the benefit to these going to Marvel Studios is that Marvel Studios is willing to put more money into these things than Netflix was. Yeah. And, you know, when you have street level characters, you don't have to spend a lot of money on special effects. And that's cool. That's fine. They still aren't going to need a whole lot of special effects, but Marvel Studios' deeper pockets, they can still provide more.
Yep.
And I think that they can do really well with that.
Oh yeah. Agreed. And it would be nice to see what they could do, like how they could elevate them even more. A lot of them, like Daredevil, was perfect. I can't even complain about it. Jessica Jones, obviously, season one. I think it's hard to come back after you have David Tennant in your first season.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
Where do you go from there?
Yeah.
I'm a very big David Tennant fan. So maybe I'm biased. I'm a lot biased. But I mean, where do you go from there? You have such a fantastic character with David Tennant, such a great actor with David Tennant. Mm-hmm. And then after that, you're like, oh, okay, so now what?
Yeah.
So it'd be kind of nice to see what else they could do with all the other properties. I mean, Iron Fist, literally first season was just pretty much, I am the immortal Iron Fist, and that was it. So, you know, would be nice to see what else they can do with his character as well.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's not going to take much for them to give these characters just a little bit of background to basically reinforce the fact that they're part of the MCU, and then you can populate them, sprinkle them amongst other shows.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, and so you have an episode or two of whatever, a Hawkeye show that has Iron Fist in it. Okay, cool. Yeah.
Exactly.
Great crossover. It's really awesome.
Well,
he's there for a couple episodes, then he goes away. It's just like comic books.
Yeah.
And I mean, Jessica Jones and Ms. Marvel. Mm-hmm. There's a whole host.
Yeah.
I mean, She-Hulk. I mean, they are already populating with new street-level heroes that exist in there. Bring some of the other ones through.
And we totally want to see She-Hulk and Matt Murdock. I mean, as attorneys, there's just this obvious nexus for the two of them that we would love to see on the small screen. It works so well.
And if they don't want to continue with their own shows, like you said, just putting them in with other shows as well, they can still keep the same actors.
Yeah.
So there's that, you know, consistency, but they don't have to continue with the shows if they're like, we don't really want to continue with them at the moment. So, I mean, there's definitely a lot they can do with it.
Yeah.
So the next item here, I didn't put into news. I put in speculation rumors because, to be honest, I don't know the reputation of this source here. So this is a pop culture rag from the UK called Small Screen. They are saying that Emily Blunt and John Krasinski are definitively in talks with Marvel for Fantastic Four. Presumably, of course, these are the roles of Reed Richards and Sue Storm. I mean, this has obviously been a fan casting for a long time. John Krasinski has acknowledged this in a number of interviews and such for his different projects he gets asked about. hey, would you love to be in Fantastic Four? He says, yeah, duh. Of course I would. but I don't know.
Not to mention, in one of the most recent iterations of Reed Richards, he looks a lot like John Krasinski does. Which helped that kind of speculation, because they've done that, you know, with other characters.
Particularly the Reed Richards and John Krasinski with beards.
Yeah.
Which is what is in the current Doctor Doom series. And it's like, you know, just crazy similar.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously there's a lot of anticipation for Fantastic Four, because this is Fantastic Four is basically the gateway drug. This is what opens up this whole plethora of other characters. It still doesn't, you know, properly get us to the X-Men. So, I mean, there's still that venue that needs to be explored, but the Fantastic Four is a big thing. And Fantastic Four is also very specifically mentioned by our buddy, Kevin Feige. In saying, hey, yeah, it's coming. I mean, maybe we're even going to get that announcement in December during the shareholder conference. That would be mind blowing.
Really looking forward to that. I really want to hear about that.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like, I mean, they've done so many movies already for the Fantastic Four, and they haven't gotten to where they can be. They just haven't been that good. And to be able to see what Marvel is going to do, Marvel Studios is going to do with it, is I can't wait.
Yeah.
Did we ever fan cast Johnny Storm?
I think at one point, John, you and I did. I think we spent a whole episode fan casting, but that was so long ago.
CM Punk for my thing. Just, I think with John Krasinski, this the comic timing with John Krasinski and Emily Blunt, I you know, a good that. And I will also ask Kevin, cameos by Michael B. Jordan and Chris Evans.
Somewhere in there,
because they continued on as little Easter eggs.
Yeah,
would be have Chris Evans and Michael B. Jordan having coffee in a coffee shop.
Yes,
and the new Johnny Storm walk by, and they all kind of look at each other, and that's it. Yeah. Oh my God, I will slap my knee and laugh at that scene for the rest of my life.
Totally, yeah,
yeah.
I mean,
no, something like that is that's gold.
That even with like Spider-Man, just having Tobey Maguire somewhere within the Spider-Man universe is I'm just waiting for those moments. Those like, look, we were, this is what we did before. Well, we know you saw those movies.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And like, we know it, we're acknowledging it.
Yeah.
Move on. And there'll be a bunch of people that get it. And a bunch of people be like, why are people laughing?
Why is everybody looking at them? Why are they looking at him like what's going on?
Yeah.
And you know they're all about the Easter eggs, so you know that they're thinking about it in some way.
And you know Chris Evans and Michael B. Jordan will be like, hell yeah.
They're like, we are so down.
Especially, or like even a run-in between Chris Evans and John Krasinski, because Krasinski finished second for Captain America.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, so even like something along, like, you know, something along the lines of, like, again, like, most people won't get it, but the true fans who love and they love giving those Easter eggs will like lose their minds over.
Yeah. It's a nice nod. It's a nice nod. So we've spoken several times in the last few episodes about who might become the next Black Panther. And John, a few days ago, you called me and you said, hey, we've been talking about this, but there's one really important thing that we haven't considered. Go.
So I'm going to call an audible. And let's do the character profile first.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And then come back to it. And I meant to text you that audible earlier in the day, you know, and then life.
Yeah, no, I'm good with it. Let's go straight to character profile.
Right. So the character profile, and she is a little bit more of an established character than we've done in the past, but it made sense with kind of the discussion of the future of Black Panther, especially with Disney Plus and their tribute to Chadwick Boseman. So our character profile tonight is Shuri, which, no shocker to anyone out there, she's the sister of Black Panther, T'Challa, and an heiress to the throne of Wakanda. I'm sure one of you will be able to spot check me. I forgot to list who she is portrayed by in the MCU.
Letitia Wright.
Thank you. Yep. I forgot to put that in there, but I knew one of you would know off the top of your head. Yep. So Shuri is the younger child of T'Chaka, and the only daughter and biological child of T'Chaka and Queen Ramonda, who in the comics is his third wife. So Angela Bassett played Queen Ramonda in Black Panther. But in the comics, she's only T'Challa's stepmother, not his biological mother.
Gotcha.
So throughout her life, Shuri wanted to become the first woman to become Black Panther. She actually early on in life broke into the arena to challenge her uncle, Sivan, who at the time was Black Panther. She was unable to reach the ring before another fighter defeated him and claimed the title. That was a masked victor, and it turned out that it was T'Challa. Hmm. And that is how he started down the path to become Black Panther. Later on in her life, Wakanda was attacked by Claw, who we saw in the movies. She took part of the defense of Wakanda and ended up killing a mercenary. At that point, she was not really trained as a fighter or as a warrior. And she had a lot of difficulty and some PTSD dealing with the fact that she took a life. T'Challa took it upon himself to train her in hand-to-hand combat. And really said, you know, because one day you may need to take my place. And that's how she became such a good and gifted fighter, was under the personal tutelage of her stepbrother. Fast forward life in comics. After a incident assuming to involve Namor, T'Challa is in a comatose state. Queen Aru Storm in the X-Men, who's married to T'Challa, nominates Shuri to be his successor. And this is why I wanted to do the character profile first, because this is where things differ between the comics and the movies, and then we'll get to our discussion point. So, to become the Black Panther in the comics, first someone must defeat the current Black Panther. Which I alluded to, T'Challa did with his uncle. I am assuming if the current Black Panther is dead or incapacitated, this step is skipped. Because it's really easy to beat someone who is dead or incapacitated.
This is true.
So the next step is the challenger then must fight and defeat six of Wakanda's greatest warriors at once.
Mm-hmm.
So not like the movie where each tribe gets to determine if they will send a challenger or not, and it becomes one-on-one ritualistic combat. Right. This is 6-on-1. Though it does not appear that it is to the death or submission like the movies. If the challenger survives that, they then must complete quote, several other tasks to prove their worthiness. I couldn't find a lot of reference what those tasks are, but I'm going to guess that they are not simple. If they complete all of those tasks, then they're granted access to the heart-shaped herb. However, anyone who is not worthy or of noble blood may not survive the process. And in the comics, Killmonger tried and ended up poisoned and almost didn't survive taking the heart-shaped herb. Though he did create a synthetic version. So there is precedence for a synthetic version of the heart-shaped herb.
Gotcha.
So anyway, Shuri goes through the entire process. She gets access to the heart-shaped herb and consumes it. However, in the comics, when they enter that kind of dreamlike state where they see the ancestors that we saw or people from their past, in the comics, they then face the Panther God. Right. The Panther God determines if they are worthy and bestow the powers upon them. So when Shuri consumed the heart-shaped herb, the Panther God did not give her the powers of the Black Panther. She was rejected because the Panther God viewed her as having a lifelong jealousy of her brother and kind of an arrogance in trying to achieve the title of Black Panther. She then ended up taking on the identity and the outfit anyway. And in, again, saving Wakanda from an attack and showing a lot of selflessness by, you know, defending the comatose Black Panther, T'Challa, from being killed, she's then granted the powers of the Black Panther by the Panther God for kind of redeeming herself. She is shown worthy at that point. So that kind of, you know, was interesting in tying back to kind of some of our discussion. So life moves forward. Shuri eventually does become queen. As well as the Black Panther, she dies in order to save T'Challa. But as in pretty much every comic book death, she doesn't stay dead for very long. She ends up coming back, and I believe is still alive and well. I did not read that she died more than once, but. So that kind of gives kind of a synopsis. I mean, again, there is a lot to her character that I kind of kept it to what we know and make reference back and forth to the MCU. Yeah. And so the point I raised to Tim, and I don't think they need to make much of the movie about it, certainly not the whole movie about it. But should Shuri become the Black Panther, from what we saw in the movie, every one of the 18 tribes gets to challenge for the throne.
Right.
And the only one that we saw do that in Black Panther was M'Baku, who has a lot of contempt for Shuri in the first Black Panther movie.
Yeah.
So she is very gifted technologically. I don't think we saw a lot of her skill set in hand-to-hand combat. But my kind of point to Tim was, I think suspension of disbelief to a degree of going forward in the movie. It makes sense. That's what they've been grooming her for. But in a practical standpoint, T'Challa barely beat M'Baku.
Yeah.
Say M'Baku challenges this time.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of Shuri beating him in hand-to-hand combat when no one has no power, she has no tech.
Yeah.
That's, you know, it's just seeing how much T'Challa struggled.
Yeah.
It becomes a bit of a stretch. So more of the conversation is, how are they going to address? Do all 18 tribes not send forth a challenger? Does she have to fight one or two? I feel like to a degree, they have to address why at least M'Baku doesn't challenge, mm-hmm. And why none of the other tribes decide to send forth a challenger, because it's not a foregone yeah. conclusion that she just gets to a, you know,
yeah.
she, you know, gets the throne and gets to be the Black Panther. So that's kind of the tee it up for both of you mm-hmm. for the kind of the discussion of, you know, kind of the thought and what do you think of that as an element to the movie or how they're going to address it?
I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe if somebody is actually killed, then it's a different situation. Maybe out of respect, people will say, you know what, we respected T'Challa, so out of respect, we're not going to challenge. I don't know if that's something that would happen, or if that's a possibility of them talking about.
But remember, he, once his father died,
yeah,
that's when he
that's had true.
To...
Yeah, that
that's
is true.
When he had to fight for the title, even though
yeah.
it appears that he already had the heart-shaped herb and the yeah. suit prior to his, I mean, at least maybe like but right maybe, after his father died, he got it
yeah.
and there was a loophole and maybe that's how, they, yeah. I mean, he had to get it at some point yeah. pretty quick
yeah.
And then had to re-earn it. So maybe
yeah.
that happens. I mean, that's yeah. actually like a weird
and maybe,
kind of loophole where
and maybe that's,
he had all those powers.
Yeah, and maybe that's where Shuri starts to learn to her hand-to-hand combat is that they give her the Black Panther stuff and then they practice with her and then she gets really good at it. Maybe there's that she uses that loophole to her advantage. I don't know. I feel like Marvel will definitely have a proper storyline if they decide to go the Shuri route. Yeah. I know I had heard something somewhere where when Shuri is talking in the movie, at some point she mentions that she wouldn't want to be Black Panther because she likes working in the lab or something like that. Sure. So people are thinking, maybe she isn't going to be the next Black Panther because of that statement alone. I mean, I would love to see Shuri as the next Black Panther because I love Shuri. She's fantastic.
Yeah.
But you are right. We haven't seen her hand-to-hand combat. We saw a little bit of it near the end of Black Panther.
Right.
Yep. Where she was fighting with the tech, with Nakia and the rest of mm-hmm. rest of the Dormilaje. So we saw a little bit of it, but not enough of it to make a judgment call on how well she fights. But she did fight a little bit. So they might take that and just be like, oh, here, we'll explain it more in either a prequel, like a pre-setup to the movie, or in that loophole situation. Maybe they'll kind of talk about it that way. Also, maybe because of Endgame and everything that happened with the snap and all that stuff with Infinity War and Endgame, maybe people are a little bit more respectful, or maybe they talk about it during that time when T'Challa was snapped away, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Who was in charge then? Oh. What was going on? Well, was Shuri in charge? I think they said no. I think they thought. I thought. I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I thought they said she was still alive.
The great thing is, though, is that with the fighting, I mean, obviously, you know, even real world, there's a gazillion different fighting styles.
Yeah.
And
yeah, true.
There are people who are, you know, smaller and mm-hmm. not as physically strong who are still able to completely kick someone else's ass. So.
And she might.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
So, you know,
she might use her science, knowledge, mathematics, all that stuff to her advantage.
Exactly. Where she could be a smarter fighter instead mm-hmm. of just, you know, a pummel the crap out of the other person, brute force kind of fighter. And it's not to say that the other ones weren't skilled. I mean, obviously T'Challa mm-hmm. was really skilled. But I think that they can give her a different kind of fighting style. And things like, you know, pressure points and just the fact that she's smaller and maybe faster and she can kind of get her way around these people. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, I think that while we know that M'Baku had a lot of issues with her in mm-hmm. Black Panther, if this is the route that they go, mm-hmm. I think that it's it's simply not good writing to pit him against her right away. I think it's much more smart to have him change his perspective about her and be someone to support her. So,
yeah, because they all fought together during Endgame. So
yes, yeah.
You know, maybe he that moment kind of there was a moment of respect during that time that he gained for Shuri that we didn't see behind the scenes. So
I feel like there'd be forgiveness if Marvel did a little bit of retconning. As we know, Shuri didn't die on screen in Infinity War. And Angela Bassett in interviews said she and Shuri survived. In the Endgame poster, though, they showed her as black and white, which they did for people who were fallen. However, does a poster make it canon? I don't know. I think to the points that were made, you know, if we, knowing now what they need to know, having her have stepped in that 5 years while T'Challa was gone makes huge sense. And I think fans will forgive a poster knowing that Chadwick Boseman died and helps explain a lot of things. I think that's a great point and something I hadn't thought of. So I really do like that approach.
Yeah. And I think that's sensible because there wasn't anything else as far as I can remember that had definitively cut her out.
Just because I remember even us talking about it, that it was the poster that, you know, kind of came up and we're like, oh my God, she did die. And again, we're just basing that on that she had a black, you know, they could say it was a misprint at the printer. I don't care what they say.
Sure.
Yeah. So they can say, hey, guys, he died. We got to do some retconning.
Exactly.
And I think, like, even if they owned it, people would be like, cool, no, we get it.
Yeah. They'd be like, oh, yeah, that totally makes sense. They had to figure it out right away.
Well, very good. Good stuff. I think we have some great ideas with that. And, John, thank you for the character profile of Shuri.
Hey, Kevin Feige, call me.
And John, if you could do one more thing for me,
what's that?
Take us out of here, buddy.
Send us your feedback, your questions, your comments, any concerns, your favorite holiday traditions or meals. Just to spice things up, you can reach us over at guardians@randomchatter.com, and of course you can always reach us at the Discord. On Twitter, you can find the network at Random Chatter. You can find Lizzie out in California at the Lizzie T. That is T as in the drink. Tim is Qui-Gon Tim. That is Tim with two M's. And Sheba is at Queen Sheba 24. And then over on the Instagram, you can find the network again at Random Chatter. I am at _John Stewart. Lizzie is at the Lizzie T. Tim is at some call me Tim 1138, and Sheba is at #perpetuallysingle.
Fantastic. Well, Sheba, John, thank you very much for joining me tonight. Great episode.
Absolutely.
Good stuff. And folks, thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening. Hope everyone is staying safe and well, and we will catch you in about a week.